Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. This time, we're going to be looking into food safety regulations, specifically when they clash with the realities of the food industry. So you can imagine the FDA, they're tasked with this huge EU responsibility of keeping our food safe, right? So, of course, they got to set rules for how things are made. So that seems straightforward, right? I mean, how hard can it be to write some rules?
Well, in theory, yes, but in practice,
Oh, here we go.
it can get pretty messy.
A bit. Okay, so that's where this whole story starts. This company called Nova Scotia Food Products Corp. They specialize in smoked whitefish. And they ended up in this legal battle with the FDA over regulations that were designed to prevent botulism.
Yes, botulism.
So to get into this, we kind of start with botulism itself. So what's the big deal with botulism?
Botulism is a pretty rare but potentially deadly illness that's caused by a toxin, and this toxin is produced by the bacterium Clostridium botulinum.
Okay, so that's a mouthful.
It is.
But the scary part is that even just tiny amounts of this
No,
toxin
yeah.
can be lethal.
Yeah.
So how does that work?
Basically, it attacks your nervous system, and that can lead to paralysis.
Oh.
In severe cases, it can even cause respiratory failure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really bad news.
I see why the FDA is, kind of obsessed with keeping this out of our food. But so how does all of this relate to insanitary conditions at a fish processing plant? Because that's what they were accused of, right? Nova Scotia.
Yes, they were. And it's important to understand the historical context here.
Okay.
So between 1899 and 1964,
Okay.
there were only 8 reported cases of botulism
Wow.
that were actually linked to hot smoked whitefish.
That's it.
That's it. And all of those cases involved vacuum-packed fish.
Okay.
And once the industry stopped vacuum packing, there hasn't been a single case.
So you're saying we're talking like a handful of cases
Exactly.
over like what, 6 decades?
Over 6 decades.
And all of them are linked to something that they don't even do anymore.
Exactly.
Okay, so that doesn't sound like an epidemic to me.
No, not at all. The
Damn.
risk seems pretty minimal, especially for non-vacuum packed whitefish.
Right.
But the FDA, their mandate is to protect public health, so they implemented these regulations to try and minimize the risk even further.
So what do they do?
They're called time temperature salinity regulations.
Time, temperature, salinity.
Yep, or TTS for short.
Okay, so what is that all about? What is TTS?
Essentially, they specify the exact temperature and time the fish needs to be cooked at to eliminate any chance of botulism. The higher the salt content in the fish, the lower the temperature can be.
Oh, so there's some flexibility there?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
But the problem was that Nova Scotia, they argued that meeting these requirements would totally change their fish.
Oh no.
Yeah, the texture, the taste.
So they were saying it would basically make it unsellable.
Yeah, basically.
So was this like a safety versus practicality thing? Like cook it to death to be safe versus cook it right to be delicious.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And that's what landed them in court.
This is getting good. This is where it gets juicy, right?
It does.
This small fish company taking on the FDA.
And Nova Scotia didn't just argue that the regulations were, commercially impossible.
Right.
They actually challenged the FDA's authority to impose such strict rules, especially because the risk with non-vacuum packed fish was so small.
So you wouldn't think a small company would have much chance against the FDA. But did they have any legal ground to stand on?
They did. It comes down to the Administrative Procedure Act, or APA.
The APA.
Yes, think of it as a set of rules for how government agencies like the FDA create regulations.
So it's all about fairness and transparency. So how did the APA come into play in this case?
Well, Nova Scotia argued that the FDA was basically breaking the rules. One of the key things in the APA is that it requires these agencies like the FDA to disclose any scientific studies and data that they're relying on when they're making rules.
So they have to be transparent.
This allows for public feedback and keeps everything open.
Okay.
But Nova Scotia claimed the FDA didn't do this with the TTS regulations. They kept their data secret.
Oh, wow. So they were making decisions based on information they didn't even share
That's right.
with the very people it was going to impact the most.
Exactly.
That's pretty messed up. It goes against the whole idea of transparency in government, right? No
Exactly.
wonder Nova Scotia was upset.
They were. They argued that if they had access to that data, they could have provided some really useful feedback
Yeah.
during the whole rulemaking process.
Right. And maybe suggested alternatives.
Exactly.
So what did the court think of all this?
Well, it seems like they were sympathetic to Nova Scotia's arguments.
Really?
But we'll have to save that part of the story for part two of our deep dive. Welcome back.
All right, so last time we left off, Nova Scotia was in court,
right,
arguing that the FDA hadn't exactly played fair
right
in setting those TTS regulations for their smoked whitefish.
Well,
so did they side with Nova Scotia?
They did. At least partially.
Really?
The court ruled that the FDA's TTS regulations, specifically as it applied to non-vacuum-packed whitefish, was arbitrary and invalid.
Wow. So that's a victory for the little guy.
Well, it was a partial win. They didn't overturn the entire regulation, just the part that applied to the specific type of fish that Nova Scotia was making.
The non-vacuum-packed stuff.
The one with the really low risk of botulism.
Right, right. Okay. So still, though, a win against the FDA is pretty impressive.
It is.
So what was the court's reasoning there?
Well, they specifically agreed with Nova Scotia that the FDA had failed to disclose the scientific data behind their decision making.
So that whole transparency thing.
Yeah, the court basically said that this lack of transparency prevented the industry from providing any meaningful feedback,
right,
which is a key requirement of the Administrative Procedure Act.
Right. So they were operating in secrecy.
Pretty much.
Making decisions that would impact this entire industry without even being open about the reasons why.
Right.
Okay. I see why the court sided with them.
And they also criticized the FDA's explanation of the rule.
Oh, yeah.
Which the APA refers to as the concise statement.
A concise statement.
Remember, that's where they're supposed to explain the purpose of the rule in a way that everyone can understand.
Right, right. So what was wrong with their concise statement?
Well, Nova Scotia argued, and the court agreed with them, that it didn't properly address several key concerns that the fishing industry had raised.
Like what?
For example, the industry had questioned why all types of fish had to be lumped together under the same TTS rules.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right.
Some fish are probably lower risk than others.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not really a one-size-fits-all situation.
Right.
And there was another issue, too. The industry had suggested using nitrate and salt as alternatives to the high temperatures the FDA was requiring.
Oh, interesting.
They argued that these additives could be just as effective at eliminating the botulism risk.
Okay.
Without ruining the quality of the fish.
So you could have safe and delicious.
Exactly.
Did the FDA consider that at all?
Nope. They completely ignored it.
Wow.
And that, along with their failure to disclose the data, really made the court question whether the FDA had actually acted fairly and reasonably.
Right. It makes sense. I mean, on the one hand, you want the FDA to be super careful.
Of course.
About food safety. Nobody wants to get botulism.
Yeah.
But on the other hand,
yeah,
you don't want them to create these rules that are so strict that they put people out of business.
Right.
And, you know, eliminate these traditional foods.
Exactly. It's a delicate balance.
Yeah.
And this case really shows how important it is for these agencies to be transparent.
Yeah.
And to really think about the real world implications of what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
It's not just about eliminating all risk. It's about managing it in a way that's both effective and practical.
Well said. This is making me wonder, are there other countries out there that are facing these same challenges?
Yeah.
When it comes to, you know, regulating smoked fish?
Yeah.
What do their rules look like?
That's a good question.
Maybe the FDA could learn something.
Yeah.
From how other countries are handling this.
I think that's a great idea.
Right. No need to reinvent the wheel if someone else has already figured it out.
Yeah.
Okay, but getting back to the FDA and their regulations,
okay,
where do things go from here?
Well, the court's ruling was a pretty big blow to the FDA,
yeah,
even though it was limited to that non-vacuum-packed whitefish.
Right.
It raised some serious questions about their process and their authority.
Yeah. So what do? Do they just, like, accept the ruling and revise their regulations?
Well, their initial reaction was actually to appeal the ruling.
Oh, really?
They weren't going to back down that easily.
They were going to fight back?
They wanted to reinstate those regulations and maintain their authority.
I see.
But then something interesting happened.
What a plot twist.
After filing the appeal, they withdrew it.
They withdrew it?
Yep.
So they just gave up.
It seems that way.
After all that fighting, they decided not to appeal. Why?
Well, we can only speculate.
Okay.
But it's likely that several factors contributed to their decision.
Like what?
Well, remember, the court had highlighted those procedural flaws in the FDA's rulemaking process.
Right.
They got criticized for that lack of transparency and for not really addressing the industry's concerns.
Right. The whole secret data thing.
Exactly. And not considering those alternative solutions like using salt and nitrate.
Right. Right. So they realized they messed up.
Possibly. They might have thought that appealing the ruling would just lead to more scrutiny. of your processes and potentially set a precedent that could weaken their authority in future cases?
Oh, so they didn't want to risk it.
It's possible.
So it was like a strategic retreat.
Maybe. They decided to live to fight another day.
Right.
But it also suggests that they were acknowledging that those TTS parameters might not have been necessary for all types of smoked fish.
Right, because if they were really that important,
Yeah,
they would have fought harder.
exactly.
So what happened to the TTS regulations for non-vacuum packed whitefish then?
Well, the court's ruling basically nullified them
Yeah.
for that specific type of fish,
Uh-huh.
but the FDA took a rather interesting approach.
What did they do?
They chose not to enforce those regulations for any type of smoked fish.
So a quiet surrender.
You could say that.
They found a way to kind of sidestep the court
It seems that way.
without formally changing the rules.
Right.
That's pretty sneaky.
But it also suggests a shift in their thinking.
Yeah.
They were essentially admitting
Good.
that those strict TTS regulations
Yeah.
weren't actually necessary across the board.
So in the end, this tiny little company took on this huge government agency
Right.
and won.
And made a difference.
It's pretty amazing.
It is. It shows that even in a world of these complex regulations
Right.
and these powerful institutions,
Mm-hmm.
individual voices can still make a difference.
That's inspiring.
This case also highlights how important transparency is
Right.
and communication in
Mm-hmm.
the regulatory process.
Yeah, if the FDA had just been more upfront about their data
Right.
and been more open to the industry's perspective, this whole thing could have been avoided.
Exactly. Open communication is key.
Right. So what's the big takeaway here?
Well, I think this case really shows that regulations should be based on sound science.
Yeah.
They need to be transparent,
Oh.
and there needs to be a willingness to adapt to new information.
Right. So it's a constant process.
Exactly. It's about learning and improvement.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. Our deep dive into the world of smoked whitefish botulism and the FDA.
It was quite a journey.
It was. And you know, it's a great example of how a small company can challenge the status quo,
Absolutely.
how the courts can help to keep the government in check, and how even the best intentioned regulations can sometimes have unintended consequences.
Right. It's all about finding that balance.
Exactly. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It was a pleasure.
Until next time, stay curious and keep asking those questions. Okay, so we're back for the final part of our smoked whitefish saga. If you remember, we left off with that court ruling
Right.
against the FDA
Yeah.
invalidating those TTS regulations for non-vacuum packed whitefish.
Yeah.
It was a pretty big blow to the FDA.
It was.
But what happened next?
Well, their first reaction was to appeal.
Really? They were going to fight back.
Oh, yeah. They weren't ready to give up.
So they wanted to get those regulations back.
Exactly. And they wanted to reassert their authority.
Makes sense, but then what?
Well, they filed the appeal
Mm-hmm.
and then
Yeah.
they withdrew it.
They withdrew it. They just gave up. I
Oh.
mean, I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah, it was unexpected.
After all that, why would they just back down?
Well, we can't know for sure,
Right.
but I think there are a few things that might have influenced their decision.
Okay, like what?
Well, remember, the court had pointed out some problems
Uh-huh.
with how the FDA had gone about making those rules.
Right. They weren't very transparent.
Exactly. And they didn't really listen to the industry's concerns.
Right. So they realized they kind of messed up.
Maybe they might have thought that appealing would just lead to even more scrutiny.
Oh, yeah.
And, maybe set a precedent
Uh-huh.
that could weaken their authority in the future.
So they didn't want to risk it.
Exactly.
Okay, so it was like a strategic retreat.
You could say that.
All right. Well, so then what happened to those TTS regulations?
Well, the court's ruling basically made them go away, at
Right.
least for that specific type of fish.
Uh-huh.
But then the FDA did something interesting.
What's that?
They just stopped enforcing those regulations.
For all smoked fish.
Yeah, for
So
everything.
they basically surrendered.
It seems that way. It was a quiet surrender.
But they didn't actually change the regulations.
Nope.
Clever. So what does this all mean?
Well, I think it suggests a shift in their thinking.
Okay.
They realized those strict TTS regulations
Yeah.
weren't really necessary.
Especially not for all types of smoked fish. It's
Exactly.
amazing that this small company could take on this huge agency like the FDA
It's pretty amazing.
and actually change things.
And it shows that, even when you're up against a really powerful institution,
Right.
your voice can still make a difference.
It's inspiring. So I guess the big lesson here is that communication is key.
Definitely. If the FDA had just been more open about their data,
Uh-huh.
and listen to the industry, this whole legal battle could have been avoided.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive.
It has.
We've learned so much about smoked whitefish and botulism and the FDA.
And the importance of transparency and
Yeah,
communication.
exactly. So thanks for joining us, everyone.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you next time.